Good afternoon. You're listening to Politics in Action on CJMQ 88.9 FM. I'm Anna, bringing you the latest on local political news. On today's show, I will be discussing François Legault's new swear-in as official MP and his introduction of cabinet, the long-anticipated October 17th legalization of marijuana, and why we foresee tougher rules for Quebecers. And what does this mean for citizens that currently hold charges for marijuana-related crimes? And to conclude, a quick update on your rights and responsibilities with this new Cannabis Act. After a stunning defeat on October 1st, the Quebec Liberals handed over the reins of power to the Coalition Avenir Quebec, or CAQ, on Thursday. Winning 74 of 125 seats at the National Assembly, the CAQ now form a majority government, with leader François Legault officially becoming Quebec's 42nd premier. "This government is your government," Legault stated. "We will work with all of our strengths, with all of our hearts for you." The Quebec Liberals, who governed for 13 of the last 15 years, will sit at the official opposition. In the few weeks leading up to the changing of the guard, Legault has said his top priorities were health, education, and the economy. On Thursday afternoon, he unveiled his team of cabinet ministers, tasking with meeting those objectives. Legault faced a daunting task. Having promised a small cabinet made up of 20 to 25 ministers, he also promised equal representation of men and women. In addition to gender parity, Legault has to ensure regional representation and a fair distribution of ministerial positions between returning and newly elected MNAs. Roughly two-thirds of CAQ's MNAs are new to the legislature. CAQ MNA Genevieve Gibault, who represented the Louis-Hébert riding, was the first cabinet member to be sworn in. She was named deputy premier and public security minister, as well as the minister responsible for the Capitale Nationale. One notable surprise was that Legault did not name an Anglo Affairs minister. Christopher Skeet, an Anglophone within the CAQ, was believed to be a shoo-in for the position. He nonetheless will oversee the Secretariat for Relations with English-speaking Quebecers as parliamentary secretary. Legault then went on to outline the merits of his new cabinet. When all was said and done, Legault made good on most of his promises, naming 26 ministers in all, 13 men and 13 women. He states that our cabinet reflects a fundamental value in Quebec, that of equality between men and women. Notably, all the elected ministers will be serving for the first time this term. Legault says that this was on purpose, and he believes that Quebec needs a renewal and a fresh start. While marijuana has only been legal for less than a week in Canada, the incoming Quebec government is already promising changes across the province. Simon-Jolin Barrette, the Coalition Avenir Quebec MNA for Boudoir, said the province's current legislation has some serious holes that will be addressed in the coming weeks. He states, "We need to be clear, and we need to have a bill, a law that will be applicable. The newly elected CAQ government will move to ban smoking cannabis in public places as soon as possible, according to Jean-Lain Barrette. As it stands, some municipalities have prohibited smoking in public spaces, while others, like Montreal, have opted not to ban consumption in parks and on sidewalks." He states that right now it is chaos, and the CAQ will also stand firm on its controversial pledge to raise the minimum age and implement a uniform law across Quebec. Legault has already said he plans to increase the minimum age to buy and possess cannabis from 18 to 21. The change would move Quebec from having one of the lowest cannabis ages in the country to the highest. The minimum age currently is 19 in most provinces. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said he personally agrees with the legal age of 18 and said the plan could leave an opening for organized crime. Jean-Lain Barrette, however, argues the move to raise the minimum age has support from Quebecers across the province. "The plan comes down to protecting Quebec's youth," he added. Tens of thousands of Canadians could soon be eligible for a pot pardon, a significant policy that has the potential to help at least 1% of all Canadian citizens. In 2016, 55,000 Canadians were charged by police for cannabis-related crimes. A criminal charge for possession can affect your ability to find a job, travel to the U.S., find housing, or get custody of kids. And experts say that people affected are disproportionately Black or Indigenous. During the weeks before October 17th, a group of Toronto lawyers, activists, and entrepreneurs launched a petition called on the federal government to grant amnesty to people convicted of simple cannabis charges. Criminal defense lawyer Anna Marie Enenahor, the director of the Campaign for Cannabis Amnesty, stated that there is a strong appetite among the Canadian public for showing compassion to these individuals who, because of indiscretions in their youth, have this conviction on their record. The group officially launched its campaign at the Global Marijuana March at Queen's Park in Toronto in May 2018, collecting around 3,000 signatures within a short time frame. This is one of the rare moments in which we see social groups made up of a variety of citizens from varying fields coming together in order to fight a common cause and succeed. Just this week, Trudeau announced that it will expedite the process of pardons for people with minor cannabis-related criminal records. This news is probably greatly welcomed by the tens of thousands of Canadians who have been convicted of possession offenses. The government pledges to waive the steep fee for a record suspension or pardon, which normally costs about $631, and do away with the standard waiting period, 5 years for a summary offense, 10 years for an indictable offense. This new policy has the potential to help change lives of a sizable minority of Canadians. Public Safety Minister Ralph Goodale said the pardons will shed the burden and stigma and break down the barriers to get jobs and for access to education. Nonetheless, a record suspension does not erase the fact someone committed a crime. Rather, it keeps the record separate from other criminal records in the Canadian Police Information Centre database. Blair cautions that legalization is only the first step towards a strictly regulated cannabis regime that achieves the government's twin objectives of getting pot out of the hands of kids and eliminating the thriving black market run by organized crime. He states that the new system will do a better job of protecting our kids, and that's our first and most important priority. By giving adults a regulated legal alternative, we believe we can make our communities safer. The announcement has been welcomed by the group Cannabis Amnesty that was mentioned earlier, but in a statement issued, they insisted that a fair process would include four features. The application for a pardon must be free, it must be effective immediately, the process must be simple, and it must involve the expungement or permanent deletion of records. Record suspensions or pardons are insufficient, Cannabis Amnesty Director Anna Maria said in the statement. They do not erase a convicted offense, it just merely sets it aside. Without expungement, individuals convicted of possession remain vulnerable to having their convictions reinstated. The government's openness to consider cannabis amnesty gives us hope, and our discussions to date have been fruitful. But the whole point of amnesty is to permanently eliminate, rather than merely suspend, the harms that stem from a previous cannabis conviction. Only expungement accomplishes this. Not surprisingly, the new legalization has sparked some controversies around the impact that this would have on the health of Canadians. Especially the Canadian Nurses Association remains concerned about criminal penalties for youth possessing more than 5 grams of cannabis that are too onerous and could jeopardize their future. The Canadian Medical Association Journal, meanwhile, is calling on the government to fund research to answer questions about the effects of marijuana use over time and have courage to admit the legislation is flawed and amend the act if cannabis use jumps. Then there's a patchwork of regulations imposed by provinces and municipalities with varying rules on such things as how much can be grown at home, if any, and whether it can be consumed in public places. The Canadian Federation of Independent Business complains that small businesses are grappling with inconsistent and uneven rules about workplace impairment, where cannabis can be consumed, and drug testing. On the other hand, it seems as if former critiques of the legalization of marijuana have come around and changed their minds. For example, former PM Brian Mulroney, whose government once introduced legislation of marijuana in the same category as heroin, now says Canada is poised to influence the rest of the world to join the cannabis bandwagon. He quotes, "I'm saying the government's position was the way to go," on Sunday, even adding that, "It takes a while for certain people and certain things to catch up with reality, and great social advances, as I've indicated, come in waves that I think will have Canada showing for the rest of the world." This involvement of views may be because Mulroney has joined the board of Acreage Holdings, a New York-based marijuana company. Mulroney isn't the only high-profile political figure to switch sides in the cannabis debate and take advantage of the commercial opportunities that legalization offers. To conclude this show, I will be discussing your rights and responsibilities that are entailed in the new Cannabis Act. You can purchase cannabis online at the Ontario Cannabis Store, consume cannabis most places you can smoke tobacco, possess up to 30 grams of dried cannabis, and grow up to 4 marijuana plants per residence. On the other hand, you cannot buy cannabis from anyone other than the Ontario Cannabis Store, drive under the influence of cannabis, consume cannabis at the workplace, or consume cannabis in indoor spaces, such as businesses, hospitals, restaurants, on city property, such as parks, benches, arenas, pools, sports fields, or transit stations, in common areas of apartment or condo buildings, anywhere children gather, or on any near restaurant or bar patio. This has been Politics in Action on CGMQ 88.9 FM. I'm Anna, bringing you the latest on local political news. Thank you for listening.